Good afternoon. It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOY, where you're home for NPR news and diverse music. I'm Sean Beter. This is the art-centric edition of our program, and with me, of course, the star of this final edition of Midday Matters, Julia Meek. Good afternoon, Julia.
Well, hello, Sean. And this being many lasts today, but especially the last Friday of the month, it's definitely time to take a tour of last Saturday excitement coming our way in downtown Fort Wayne and a look forward at the coming month of drama, drama, drama in the area. So, first off, it's DID's Tenna Winker ready to tell all about this summer kickoff of tomorrow's events. And she has our favorite busker, Fernando Tarango, in the studio for an inside look at this year's Buskerfest. And then in our second segment, it is drama to the very highest power as First Press Theater's Tom Hoffrichter joins the us for a report of the productions of the coming month. And we discuss A World of Good Drama with John O'Connell, and he's formerly the chair of IPFW Theater Department, as folks know, now the dean of their School of Visual and Performing Arts. But before all that, Sean and I each have a quick pick art tip for you as you head into this warm and wonderful, and we hope very dry, art-rich weekend. Perhaps you need a suggestion, and what is your pick, Sean?
Mine is the Guggenheim Grotto. It's I don't usually do Sunday shows, but I've heard them before. They're worth coming out for on a Sunday. It's Sunday, June 30th, 7:30 p.m. at C2G Music Hall right here in Fort Wayne. It's $12 to get into the door. It's an all-ages show, a fantastic group, and if you want to call ahead and find out a little bit more, the number, of course, 260-426-6434. The Guggenheim Grotto this Sunday at 7:30 at C2G. Going to be a great show.
That is good use of a Sunday afternoon or Sunday time for music. They're fantastic. And in the meantime, I'm suggesting a special night of music. That's Saturday with David and Hadley Todoran. That's tomorrow night, as I said, at the amazing Deer Park Irish Pub. And for those of you familiar with David's full band Mobile Home Wreckers sound, this is a wonderful father-daughter collaboration, originals and wonderful music being performed in a wonderful venue, like I said, and that's tomorrow night, Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, Deer Park Irish Pub, which is at 1530 Leesburg Road, no cover.
Even better. No cover's okay by me.
Who could ask for more?
That's right. We do want to remind our listeners before we get into all the action, and there's a whole lot today, if you want to call us, if you want to tweet us, if you want to get in touch with us in any way, the number 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'd love to hear from you on this final edition of our program.
We sure would. And now, we say, let the last Friday excitement begin, welcoming DID's ever-ambitious Tenna Winker and, as I said, our favorite busker, Fernando Tarango, to our art-centric table. And Tenna, how is the art scene looking for this first official last Saturday blowout of summer? Lazy, hazy, or crazy? Or all of the above. No, never lazy.
It's somewhere close to crazy, I think, especially when you have Buskerfest is like the highlight of tomorrow. But there's things to do all day. Another last Saturday that's sure to please families and single people and adults and just everything you can imagine, except there's not a Tin Caps game. So there's not sports, but there's Everything else.
Okay. What are some of the things that folks can look forward to seeing, hearing, tasting, and appreciating?
Well, there's always the traditional things that are open every weekend, but they're extra special on last Saturdays because they're often discounted or they have special programming. Places like the History Center and the Botanical Conservatory, that still the butterflies with an African beet exhibit.
There again, there's a shout out to something that people really should catch while it's here.
Yeah, it's a fabulous exhibit. And if you don't go in, you're going to miss it because I think it comes down in later this month and switches over to something else by August. So it's definitely good to go in there and see if the butterflies land on you. It's so neat. There is the Stoner's Fun Store. Now, Dick Stoner is going to be pretty busy tomorrow because he has two things. He's going to be in his shop doing magic tricks during the day part, except from 2 to 4, he's putting on a magic show down at the library. With Ronald McDonald from McDonald's, and with a couple other people like Terry Owens and Magic Mary, a ventriloquist. They're doing an hour and a half magic show. It's from 2 to 4, but from 2 to 2:30, there's a meet and greet with Ronald McDonald.
That's pure magic, I'd say.
Yep, free magic of Fort Wayne at the library during the day. And then at the end, little kids that go will get a top hat and they can parade down to Busker Fest together.
Now, speaking of Busker Fest, I just have to know and welcome Tarango, and thank you for Mr. Tarango, I should say, for joining us. Tell us a little bit about this year's Busker Fest and what...
Busker Fest, yes.
Buster.
And what pleasures folks might get to see here and experience this year.
Well, call me biased, but I'm a little excited to be performing with the Wickersham Brothers.
And, yes.
You know, I'm excited about that because that's right at 9, and it's right before the fire show Pyrotechnique from Chicago, I believe. So it's quite an honor to be able to be opening for them. And right before us is the Hope Arthur, and she'll be performing with the Fort Wayne Fire Troop.
Oh, my goodness, quite an incendiary session that you're going to have. The buskers are getting firestruck, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Everyone get attention. Fire is good.
As being a true blue busker, and certainly I know that you promote that form of performance, for folks that aren't familiar with what busking is and Busker Fest, give us a quick little rundown, please, Fernando.
Busking is essentially street performing. You know, pulling up on a piece of sidewalk and performing. You put your hat out if anybody enjoys what you're doing and can spare a dollar, you know, they might pop it in. And it's actually it's a profession that people do for a living. And when you have a vibrant community, you can sustain your livelihood by busking and street performing. That's the exciting thing about Busker Fest. I think it's showing people that you know, it is a profession to perform for people and entertain
mm-hmm.
people.
And an ancient
this is
one.
How it's done. Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact, and Tana Ellen, we'll ask you both, doing a whole Busker Fest, and that implies many buskers, and where and how is this space set up for such?
Well, it's going to be, it's a mix, okay, put it that way. We have stages. They're actually not physical stages, because true to buskers, we want it to be where mm-hmm. the performers just walk up and play or dance or whatever their act is. So it's on the street, no staging, no tents. So rain is a concern, but it's going to go around us. We won't cancel necessarily, but we may have to delay if it rains, because it's all outdoors and it's all just, I don't know how to explain it. It's going to be a very simple setup. In addition to having a lineup of acts that are pretty much continual throughout the day, mm-hmm. which so we guarantee some set performers like the Wickersham Brothers, we're also inviting and asking buskers to just show up and perform their whatever, juggling, if you're a mime, a living statue, if your hobby is to, you know, hula hoop really well, we'll bring it down and you can busk for hula hooping, you know, and... So we know some people are coming who have signed up. Others we expected to show up. So there's a bit of the unexpected, a bit of the quirky, a bit of the unknown. And from an event planner perspective, it's a little intimidating.
And certainly magic. Now, again, this sounds like more magic happening. And also that would get into the crazy zone that we talked about before. But that's the whole point of street celebration and street fair and busking in general. And Fernando, I'll ask you, as a busker, what's it feel like to perform on the street, street musician? Spontaneous.
It's very liberating. I honestly have to say that, you know, I mean, it's scary at first not doing it, but for me, it's sort of saying, you know, I'm a musician and I'm a performer and this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, this is my day job. So it's just me saying, here I am, you know, Fort Wayne, do what you will with me, because this is what I'm going to do. And I hope to see more and more performers and more artists doing that. I'd love to see, you know, buskers every day of the week, so that people always have something to see downtown. And that's a great way, you know, with Busker Fest, is that, you know, people can see that, you know, their talents are actually appreciated. So I think that's a big part of the gratitude, is feeling appreciated by people who walk by, which in Fort Wayne, as an artist, I felt wonderfully appreciated So,
Can you talk just a little bit more about that, actually? Because it seems like performing for an audience, busking and performing on a stage or a C2G, someplace like that, seems like there's a very different dynamic at play between performer and the audience.
Totally different. He's talking with.
I mean, as your audience is probably always changing, and when you're performing on street.
Yeah, the social contract is different. You know, up on a stage, when people come to see you, it's saying, "Hey, you're here to see me." Mm-hmm. So, you know, respect what I do as an artist. Versus on the sidewalk, you're saying, "Hey, I'm here, and this is what I do," and you're just walking by. So there's no expectation. However, you know, when you're playing and someone's nodding their head or smiling and happy that you're there. And, you know, maybe some people even reach into their pocket to show you that gratitude that they have. It's,
Is it more rewarding when you get to that point versus opening a show at, in more controlled setting?
Ooh, that's a good question. it's a different experience. Mm. I think it's the sort of the unexpected magic of that moment. Versus sometimes when you have a controlled environment, you know, you can artistically dictate where you want to take an audience. I'd say it's rewarding on different levels.
A little bit of improv here and there when you're in the middle of that performance.
Oh, always.
We want to hear from you today. If you have a question or a comment, please do get in touch with us. It's 800-471-9264. You can always email us, of course, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. You can send us a tweet if you like. It's @MiddayMatters. We do need to take a quick break, so we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you heard about the halo effect? That's the positive sentiment listeners have towards companies that support the community service of NPR and public radio stations. Your business can benefit from the halo effect when you become a program underwriter on 89.1 WBOI. To find out more, contact Peggy Gaylord at 918-1094.
On the next Fresh Air, an interview with Carol King. Anne will listen to her demo recordings of her early songs. Last month, she received the Gershwin Prize for Popular Song from the Library of Congress during a performance at the White House paying tribute to her songs. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
President Obama says America should lead the world on climate change. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at Obama's new climate plan. How will it work? Plus, tiny batteries from a 3D printer. Why batteries hold the key to our electric future. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
They call it the tyranny of 911.
Our officers are responding to 9/11 calls instead of having patrol time to do aggressive police work.
So in Miami, they don't always send a cop.
Kids, 42, 24, you can
sending public service aides instead. The NPR Cities Project today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Take charge of your financial future. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
Well, 12:21. This is Midday Matters Arts Centric on 89.1 WBOY. We're glad to have you with us on this last Friday edition of our program. I'm Sean Beter. With me, of course, Julia Meek. And Julia, we're rolling through last Saturdays with a fantastic panel today.
Yes, we have Tena Winker as well as Fernando Tarango here with us. And it sounds like there is so much to celebrate this last Saturday. It's making my head spin, and it's not even Saturday yet. Tena, besides the unstructured side of music with the whole busker thing going, and you know, can return to that in a little bit, what are some of the formal music and non-music art centricities that are going on?
Well, at the Bar Street Market, the YLNI Bar Street Market, from 9 to 1, in addition to getting art or jewelry or baked goods and fresh produce, they are having a wine and canvas event. So every hour, they'll start a new session of wine and canvas. So at 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, you can go in and paint at the market for a little while. So it's a little bit of participatory art there. And then there's the Fort Wayne Farmers Market. There's usually some performers hanging around there and a few buskers. So between those two farmers markets running side by side, literally on Bar Street, that's a really good way to start the day. And bring your cooler so you can store your food and stay for Busker Fest.
Good plan. Thank you, Tena.
There is the Wild Minds, What Animals Really Think exhibit is still at Science Central. So that's a nice place to go and play. Prana Yoga is having some yoga basics at noon. So you can always go and relax your mind before you go and hear some great music. Then at the Arts United Center, and this is kind of big because the Voices of Unity Youth Choir is big and award-winning. They're performing Alive Again at the Arts United Center. It's a tribute to Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston. And it's at 2 and at 7:30 in the evening.
Oh, how exciting.
So two shows tomorrow. There are tickets for that, and you can get those through Unity Performing Arts Foundation. So that's definitely not to be missed. Two exhibits to see. ArtLink, you definitely want to go see the photography exhibit they have and the Fiber Invitational, and then the Chihuly exhibit opened at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. And if you like to see amazing glass, this is going to be incredible. It's the Secret Garden and the Chihuly Effect. It's pushing the boundaries of studio glass, where he's inspired by landscape pieces with this exhibit, and it just got to go. And it's very special that we can get this kind of exhibit in Fort Wayne.
Oh, yes. And Justin, the timeliness of having it, welcoming it during the last Saturday event, it just makes things all the more magical and special, I think.
It does. And they do have some other exhibits still up, but Indeed. That's definitely the highlight. Tomorrow evening, at the same time as Busker Fest, it overlaps Rock the Plaza. If you hear one band down here and one on the couple blocks down, and you find yourself in between saying, which way do I go? I'd say go to both. You can walk back and forth. They're both free admission. And it's a very, very accessible. Tomorrow night, the bands are Phil's Family Lizard and Pink Droid.
Oh, swell. So really, yeah. There has got to be something for everyone out of that, this musical moment. And again, so that's so that you can be outside at Rock the Plaza or all over outside at the Busker Fest and just do it all.
And we should clarify that the reason we're laughing about Pink Droid, they're a fantastic Pink Floyd cover band, I believe.
Indeed.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So, sorry, yeah. I just wanted to interject there. Go on.
Well, I think it's kind of an interesting flavor to add to Busker Fest, you know, when you're going to have them at the same time. Because, you know, Busker Fest is 4 to 10 and Rock the Plaza is 6 to 10. So there really is some overlap there. But it's going to be very easy. Like I said, it's free, so it's easy to just walk in and out. You don't have to get tickets or any of that. You don't even have to move your car.
The pressure would be off, it sounds like, definitely.
I just wanted to remind our listeners, if you have a question or a comment, we hope you'll get in touch with us in the next few minutes. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at middaymatters. Go ahead, Julia.
We have about 5 minutes left, and so I would like to revisit the whole busker situation and talk about the state of buskertude right here in Fort Wayne at this Busker Fest, as well as hearing the real quick bunch of lineup from you, Tena, the things you haven't mentioned yet. So why don't you start with a real quick rundown of that which you have not yet mentioned.
Well, after Buskerfest, tomorrow night, there is a band at, or Joe Stabelli is playing at Hall's Gas House, and that's 6 to 9 p.m., so it's kind of an overlap there. But at 9:30, you can slip over to Club Soda and catch the Francie Zucco Quartet. Ooh. So that goes until after midnight. So, and then if you're still awake, there's the midnight movie at Cinema Center. It's Evil Intent is tomorrow's midnight movie. It's a sort of a cult genre film, but that's what they do on midnight movies. So there's plenty to do outside of Buskerfest. But at Buskerfest, let's go back to that, there are several acts that are overlapping each other.
We have a lot of overlap. Overlap seems to be the theme for this wild and wonderful weekend, which is perfect because it sounds like never a dull moment. So overlap us here.
Well, it kind of goes to what Fernando was talking about, how there's this unexpected part of street performing where you get a different engagement with the crowd. Even the actors and performers have a different level of connection, because when you bus together, you may be sitting there in a drum circle and some guy may walk up with a guitar and next thing you know, you're jamming together. And that's not how you started. Well, this is going to happen tomorrow. So Hope Arthur, for example, is going to start playing. She'll play three or four songs. And then Pyroscope Fire Dancers are just going to step in and start performing to her music. And they've been practicing together, but it's going to feel very unplanned and just smooth. We also have some other transitions like that, too, where the Beautiful Freak Show has some of the fire performers as part of their show. In some cases, like the Circus of Learning will come off and Samuel Troubadour will start, and it's just going to be really seamless. So there's a lot of interesting mixtures, and it's going to be diverse music. We have Summer Music Theater doing a little preview of their 9 to 5
great
musical. Yeah. And then we'll have the Jug Huffers with some sort of a bluegrass sound, so very old-fashioned, very different, very very different mix. There is a prize drawing tomorrow night during Buskerfest, by the way. If you haven't made it downtown and collected stamps at the various businesses,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
You can still do that. You can go to the Leadership Fort Wayne website, download the form. It's like a little Monopoly board. And for every stamp you get entered. So if you only get 10 stamps, you still get entered in this contest. It draws tomorrow night at Buskerfest at 5:45 from the stage. So if you can get your form into them before tomorrow, and you can even turn it in at Buskerfest, because they're going to be sitting there with the table collecting the forms, you can still participate, play, and try to win the ultimate downtown experience, which is an overnight stay, tickets to the Philharmonic, dinner at Club Soda, and there's some other small prizes.
How cool is that? And Fernando, we're going to ask you to do your busker best and tell folks right here, right now, why they should come down tomorrow and hear the Wickersham Brothers, Hope Arthur Orchestra, and everybody else in between for Buskerfest.
Well, if you like anything at all, and I mean anything, I think anything will be going on downtown Fort Wayne this Saturday. I mean, bring your friends, bring your family, anyone from out of town who hasn't been to Fort Wayne. It sounds like this is the time to do it, because there's so much going on for all ages, all styles and genres. It's just an exciting time.
Including pyrotechnically.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So. And if you like fire, well, I think all humans do. That's the place to
They'll
be.
They'll play with it, not the participants. They will just
professionals
enjoy.
Only. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Hopefully so.
Well, we need to wrap up and say so long. But Fernando Tarango, Tenen Winker, we appreciate your time on Midday Matters today. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us on this last very special episode. And if you need more information, it's downtownfortwayne.com.
A good reminder. Well, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for staying with us through this half of the program. We'll have much more when we return after the news. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us, as always, at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Lots of ways to get in touch with us this hour. We certainly hope you will. Stay with us. Back after the news.
Take good care of my baby. A On the next Fresh Air, an interview with Carole King. Anne will listen to her demo recordings of her early songs. Last month, she received the Gershwin Prize for Popular Song from the Library of Congress during a performance at the White House paying tribute to her songs. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Do you want to ensure that your business is top of mind for decision makers and opinion leaders in the greater Fort Wayne area? Become a program underwriter on 89.1 WBOI. We have a plan to fit nearly any business's budget. To find out more about how your business can benefit, contact Peggy Gaylord at 918-1094.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. Governor Mike Pence has restructured Indiana efforts to help small businesses in a bid to create more jobs and startups. Pence on Thursday created the Indiana Office of Small Business and Entrepreneurship that he says will focus on consulting, specialty programming, and integrating universities, private businesses, and government agencies. Also, a new ombudsman position is designed to cut through government red tape for small businesses and startups. Pence says that during the state's last growth period, only 2.5% of Indiana's companies, all new, fast-growing small businesses, created jobs. Small businesses have fewer than 500 employees. The agency's first executive director will be Jacob Spock, who has run Indiana Small Business Development Center the last 2 years. The development center will be part of the new agency. Senator Joe Donnelly says an immigration overhaul bill passed by the Senate Thursday creates a responsible and fair policy that, while not perfect, helps fix a broken immigration system. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, Indiana's other U.S. senator does not share Donnelly's view.
The Senate-approved immigration overhaul bill adds hundreds of miles of U.S. border fence, thousands of new border agents, and provides billions of dollars for new equipment and technology. Senator Joe Donnelly says the legislation provides undocumented immigrants a lengthy path to citizenship only after the border security measures are underway.
The bill requires undocumented immigrants who have broken the law to register with the government, to pay taxes, to pay fines, to learn English, and to go to the back of the line.
Donnelly says strengthening border security was his top priority for the bill. In a statement, Senator Dan Coats, who voted against the measure, says immigration reform needs to ensure efforts to strengthen border security are working before a path to citizenship can begin. But he says the Senate measure only requires the government to promise increased security measures. Coats says he hopes the House develops what he calls more credible legislation. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The warden of a federal prison holding high-risk inmates, including American Taliban fighter John Walker Lind, says allowing Muslims to pray in groups larger than two threatens security in the facility. Warden John Oliver told a federal judge Thursday that when the prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, allowed group prayer, Muslim inmates formed gangs and bullied other prisoners. Oliver says the facility now allows inmates to pray in pairs in cells. A federal judge in Indianapolis said Thursday she will decide later if the prison has violated her January 11th order to permit group prayer. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana filed a motion on April 10th asking the judge to fine the warden in contempt, saying the prison was not fulfilling the terms of the order. And Governor Mike Pence is defending his staff's decision to delete pro-gay marriage comments from his Facebook page that he says included personal attacks. Pence said Thursday that his social media policy allows for differing opinions without personal attacks. He says it mirrors the online commenting policy of many news organizations. A handful of gay marriage supporters had their comments struck from the governor's Facebook page Wednesday and were blocked on Twitter. The comments were deleted shortly after the Republican governor said he would support adding Indiana's gay marriage ban into the state constitution. However, screenshots provided by one of the commenters show one comment with no clear personal attacks was deleted, as was another asking what economic impacts Pence's stance has on the state. This afternoon, we have a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., but partly sunny otherwise with a high near 82. And tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely, and we can expect a low of 63. And looking at your weekend, on Saturday, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, and we'll see a high of 76, and dropping down to 62 on Saturday night. And on Sunday, another chance of showers with a high near 75 and a low of 61 on Sunday evening. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI, your home for NPR news and diverse music.
It's Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOY Fort Wayne, where you're home for NPR news and diverse music, of course. This is the arts-centric edition of our program and the last edition of our program. We're glad you've tuned in with us today. I'm Sean Beter. Of course, Julia Meek, the star of the program, is over there. And Julia, we're going to switch gears a little bit. No more busking necessarily, a little bit more theatrical, the last half of the show.
You might say drama, drama, drama,
you
as
might
a
say.
Matter of fact, because in this segment of our last Friday Midday Matters Art-Centric Roundup, we are taking drama to an even higher power than usual with, of course, our Thespolicious tour guide, Tom Hoffrichter, and we are joined also by John O'Connell, the dean of IPFW's School of Visual and Performing Arts as well today. Now, how is summer drama shaping up, Tom?
It is kind of, I wouldn't call it a break right now, but it is a slow time in the summer, although there are a couple of interesting things going on. Tonight, there is a kind of a rogue guerrilla production of a play called Red, which won the Tony a couple years ago by the Wunderkammer, and please correct me, my German, if you know I'm wrong, but Red by John Logan, a wonderful play about the artist Mark Rothko.
That really is exciting.
Yeah,
yes.
That's going to happen at the Old Casas on Fairfield. I think the address is 3402, 8 p.m. performance tonight and Saturday. Then the following two weekends, I believe Saturdays only, the 6th and the 13th. Also, in July, we have, from the 14th through about the 29th, the Fort Wayne Summer Musical Theater out on the IPFW campus. It's a youth program that Kirby Voltz has run several years. They're doing a musical 9 to 5 in the Williams Theater. And online, I think you can go to summermusicaltheater.com or .org and should be able to find out about that.
You can also call the box office at IPFW 481-6555 and get tickets for the Summer Musical Theater.
There you go. I've heard it's wonderful stuff. He gets great work out of those high school kids, and it's good training. It's a lot of fun. But actually now everybody's kind of in prep, getting ready for the next season, the 2013-2014 season. And luckily I've got John O'Connell here with me. I still keep wanting to say the chair of IPFW Theater Department.
Well, I am today. Today's the last day. So I'm chair and dean today. I have two hats.
Starting tomorrow, I think you were promoted to deity in charge of something.
Of all things art, yes. Performance and art, yeah. Dean of the college.
How exciting and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Dean, I heard deity.
Well, you know, I don't like to publicize that too much.
But anyway, he's I couldn't think of a better person that would know all of these shows, because I've got them on one sheet, and Fort Wayne's going to see about 30 different productions over the next 6 months, or over the next 12 months, so some terrific things. Let's start with some universities. St. Francis, who's having a more and more active presence downtown, has kind of moved towards a two-show season, and they're starting with The Man Who Came to Dinner, the outrageous comedy by Kaufman and Hart, right? That was Hart, yeah.
Right.
Jess Kaufman, who collaborated with lots of people. And then in March, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Which is a collaboration with the Fort Wayne Youth Theater. And having just done that with Oliver this year, it's a fantastic experience that we went through. So I'm really happy that Leslie is repeating that with St. Francis. It's a great opportunity for both organizations. And we had a cast of 50, and I think they'll probably have similar size cast.
It's wonderful, too, for the kids to work with the younger kids, the youth theater kids, to work with some older folks, young
A lot
adults.
Of mentoring goes on between the college students and the Fort Wayne Youth Theater actors. So she was really happy to have another institution interested in that collaboration.
Yeah, so very exciting for that one.
Yeah,
so St. Francis, who's, again, is now a neighbor. They're right across the street from First Pres now, and they're doing some wonderful things. Another university, which is not too far away, Huntington, which is about 30 minutes from downtown Fort Wayne, has a very active theater program. Jay Duffer, who did a show at First Pres last year, is the chair out there, and actually he's down in Texas directing at a professional theater. He works professionally around the country. And
yeah,
is
he at Texas Shakes, I think, perhaps? Or,
He's directing one of the Tunas. I think
okay.
It might be Greater,
Greater
Tuna.
Greater Tuna, those are fun.
Dallas. It's one of the Dallas regional theaters.
Great.
But anyway, they've got a cool season. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I think it's the musical version. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which I know is the musical
big
version.
Big musical. Mm-hmm.
Red, which I mentioned at the start of the show that's playing at the old Casas. Red is going to be down there, and Jay is actually going to play
Rothko. Oh, is he? Yeah,
and
fantastic.
I'm coming in to direct it, so I'll be down
terrific.
There directing. So
it's a great script. It's really incredible script.
We'll get to my theater later, but my plate was really full, but I read that script, and I was like,
I know. It happens, doesn't it? I know. That's what happens. As a director, you read a script, and you're like, I got to own that before somebody else does.
Well, it will teach me so much, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how do you mentor, and it's like how not to be like... Because Rothko was kind of that I can say on the radio?
I can think of
an A word that I can't say.
Maniacal.
On the radio.
Yeah.
But anyway, it hopefully will teach me to be kinder and gentler.
Let me interrupt you for a minute there. You mentioned the script. What can it teach you? Talk a little bit about that. Does every script teach you something new about the theater, about directing, about your process?
And about my life. Yeah,
how?
Absolutely.
How?
I mean, I think I went into theater. My first degree was in accounting, and I was at a very unhappy place in myself. My moorings were lost, and I started doing theater. And it started to bring me back to understanding how the world works and my place in it. And so theater for me has always been, yes, a practical journey, yes, a fun journey. There's no more fun than actually doing theater. But also it's always been a spiritual journey for me.
But every script you come across, especially the ones that you get more deeply involved with, it has a little something different for you.
Absolutely.
It teaches you something.
Because the scripts are full of, if they're well written, they're full of people. They're full of characters. And every person you run against, there's something to take from them. So,
and our job as directors, our artistry is in bringing that script to life. What I learn in rehearsal a lot isn't necessarily about the script, but about myself as an artist having to deal with this particular group of actors to get this particular message across to have an effect on an audience. So I learn every journey sort of who I am, again, as an artist, to communicate with these actors to get this message across.
And
so,
it sounds like not only an artistic journey, I guess, as Tom called it, but also a creative management exercise. Because every group
that.
Is going to be different.
Oh, every actor's different.
Well,
when
I brought up, my most significant influence was Dick Casey, who was a brilliant guy that ran the Civic for years. But Dick would really see a show how he wanted it seen, and he would really work very hard to shoehorn people to play the roles the way he wanted to see them played. And which is where I started out as a director, and I've learned over time, you've got to let actors play the role the way they need to play the role, as long as it makes sense with everything else. So, I mean, yeah, I've learned so much in the theater over the years. One of the things I joke about is pretty much everything I know is because I read it in a show somewhere. and that's facts, but it's also kind of how to live your life. So,
while we're speaking about growth, I have a question. As you mentioned, the 30-plus productions in the coming year, new performance space downtown, new collaborations right and left, which is fantastic. Did you ever dream in your careers here in Fort Wayne that it could grow to such proportions?
Can you believe it? I grew up here in the 70s and 80s when there really was kind of, theater was a very strong influence in Fort Wayne. And there for a while, it kind of lost that influence. And I think it is coming back in a very strong way.
And I've only been here 6 years, and most of the theaters that we're talking about today have been here since I've been here. So what I like about it is the diversity that I find in Fort Wayne. And, you know, just to sort of brag about Tom a little bit, you know, I am always impressed by the first Prez season, because when I got here and Tom was doing titles like Rabbit Hole, which is not a play I expect to see in a church basement, let me tell you. You know, and
it's not a church basement, it's a real theater.
It's a real theater. That's
John,
right.
Shut
Actually,
up.
It's my favorite theater space in town.
I've been working
that.
For 17 years I know. To convince people it's a real theater, and now he calls it a church basement.
Well, let me tell you, it's my favorite theater space in all of Fort Wayne, and it could be one of my favorite spaces that I've ever worked in, but as a director. But anyway, you know, the plays that he particularly picks are challenging for an audience and challenging for an actor, and I'm thrilled that we have that diversity, because Tom doesn't have to be as concerned as maybe some other theaters do with really filling the house. So that gives him the opportunity, like I have that opportunity, to do plays that are more challenging, both for the performers and for the audience. And that really excites me. We might have 30 plays, but we have a pretty diverse season throughout Fort Wayne, which I think is a real asset to our community.
Yeah.
And in the case of First Press Theater, in fact, it's part of your mission statement to handle those topics that might not be put forth.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's always walking that delicate balance between doing things that confront people about the way they live their lives, but also helping people feel good about the kind of work that's being done there. So it always is a balancing act. I mean, but it usually comes down to language for me. Yeah. There are like two or three buzzwords that are very always what you have to look at. And certain pieces I look at and go, I can't do that. It'll just offend my audience too much, right. Even though they're so valuable and would be such great stories for us to tell. Like next year, we're doing a play called Mrs. Packard, which is about a Presbyterian minister's wife who was put in an insane asylum because she disagreed with her husband. I mean, admittedly, it was 1861 to 1865, but this idea of taking other people's spirits and demanding that they believe the way you believe, I think is wonderful that a church is able to open up to the ideas that nobody has, you know, nobody owns thought.
We do need to take a quick break here, and we'll continue the discussion as well as hear about a few more fantastic shows that are currently in prep. If you want to get in touch with us, the number is 800-471-9264. Email us, of course, at middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us back in 2 minutes.
On the next Fresh Air, an interview with Carole King. Ann will listen to her demo recordings of her early songs. Last month, she received the Gershwin Prize for Popular Song from the Library of Congress during a performance at the White House paying tribute to her songs. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Can brain scans tell us how the mind works? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a lively debate on what brain scans can tell us about ourselves. Plus, not too close, not too far. Astronomers say three new Goldilocks planets could be just right for life. That's all on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
They call it the tyranny of 911.
Our officers are responding to 911 calls instead of having patrol time to do aggressive police work.
So in Miami, they don't always send a cop.
Kids, 42, 24, you can
sending public service aides instead. The NPR Cities Project today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Are you looking for clear and concise car advice?
The price goes up really a lot if it runs.
Absolutely.
So they're much more useful if they run.
If it doesn't run, don't advertise it as a limo. Advertise it as a studio apartment. For musicians.
Don't miss the fun this week.
Join us for Car Talk.
Saturday and Sunday at 10 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Ten minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, arts-centric on 89.1 WBOY, your home, of course, for NPR News and diverse music. I'm Sean Beter. With me, Julia Meek, and this hour, it's drama, drama, drama. And Tom Hoffrichter, take it away. I know we interrupted you right in the middle of a whole lot of discussion about shows coming up.
Well, we're going to cover a few other theaters. Let's start with Arena. They have a varied season. Arena does a great dinner theater, usually light comedy. What do you see on their season, Jano, that you think is
well? They have seven shows this season coming up, and Brian Wagner, who's the new artistic director out there, has been picking some kind of contemporary shows. One that's the middle of the year in March or the end of the spring is the Dixie Swim Club. I'm kind of excited about that. That's really making a regional presence, a new play from the South, and lots of professional theaters are doing that around the country. But I have to say, of their whole season, I'm sort of most excited about Company, the musical.
Yeah, it's one of Sondheim's masterpieces. Yeah. Actually, Bly Spirit, too. I just saw Stratford's version, and right. I'd forgotten how wonderful that script is.
I know,
is.
But you no know what coward. I said earlier about ownership? I'm sort of bummed out I'm not directing it. So, you know, one of those plays I've held off on the side, and when I saw it, I thought, oh,
well,
darn.
Well, honestly, it was on my final list for shows, too, so it's got a bump off my list for 5-6 years.
Exactly.
Now
that somebody else claimed. Thank you, Brian Wagner, for ruining our lives. How about you? What do you see in All for One?
Let's go to All for One. All for One does, they are also a faith-based religious company. While at First Pres we tend to do secular shows, they tend to do things that are more, it's hard to say patently religious. I don't know if I like that phrase, but that's what I'll say. But they're opening with a show called A Mighty Fortress, which are a couple of one-person plays, which I love one-person plays. And Jeff Salisbury, who's a fine actor in Fort Wayne.
He is a good actor.
Is doing a one-man show about Luther. And I think it's a short play, and they're pairing it with a dramatic presentation of Paul's letters to the Philippian church. So that one, for me, holds great interest. They're doing a couple of the shows, a show for kids, The Princess and the Goblin, The Family Nobody Wanted is a lovely comedy about, you know, taking care of your community. And they're doing 1984 to close the season. But
and a lot of these are adaptations that Lauren Nichols does herself.
Yes.
That she writes and adapts herself for the stage. So
and they also
monumentous
have
undertaking.
A playwriting for youth that they do a kid playwright festival every year. So they do great stuff at All for One over at the library.
I mean, this is impressive that they have four shows, because even just a few years ago, they maybe had two a year at the most. So they've really come along.
Well, I'll put you on the spot. At our theater, what are you going to come see besides
your
everything?
Besides everything. Well, you know, two plays I'm really looking forward to. They're back-to-back, Driving Miss Daisy in January. That's a fantastic script. I think people know the film, but they don't understand that it was a really, really brilliant play first.
Yes.
And I love it. I love the script.
And it's one of those rare animals where the play actually transformed to the screen in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It hardly ever happens.
It rarely happens, yeah. And then, you know, I'm a Shakespeare buff just like you, and one of the first professional shows I did at Oklahoma Shakes was Othello.
Oh,
so,
such a beautiful...
It's a fantastic show. I don't know who your Iago is. It's called Othello, but he doesn't have the number of lines that Iago has.
Yeah.
It's an incredible role to play.
And I've got the Othello, actually. Courtney White is playing the role of Othello. And we'll find out who's Iago in November. And Kate Black is playing Daisy and Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, is she? You know, I love directing Kate.
We're very
That's
excited.
Fantastic.
The other thing I'm excited about is a new Christmas review where Jack Canty, who I wrote Servant of Two Masters with last year, is now writing this alone.
Oh, great.
It'll be great once we actually have a script. I got the second draft.
Maybe get Lauren Nichols to add something to it.
So, yeah, we're excited about our season.
Good. And what about IPFW? What do you see on our schedule that you're excited about?
Well, actually, all of it. But the one that really jumps out for me is Our Town. I regularly argue that it is the finest play and written, I would definitely say America, but maybe even the English language. Boy, it is so beautiful. And you have Dan Butler coming in to play the stage manager and to direct.
Right,
so.
Dan Butler, who played Bulldog in Frasier, and he's a Fort Wayne native and an IPFW alum. He's coming back. He's actually coming. We have a little window between a Broadway schedule that he has. He's opening a new show at the American Repertory Theater about LBJ, and then they're taking the show down and then mounting it on Broadway. And during that off time, he's coming in to do Our Town. And he's doing it on, he's basing it on a new version that David Cromer did off Broadway about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that really a lot of press, got a lot of publicity, and he's basing that, his production, on that David Cromer version, and it will be in the Studio Theater, in the Pitt Theater, so people will want to get tickets really, really early because it will sell out
and
fast.
You are doing some extra performances.
We're
Tuesdays through Sundays.
Tuesday through Sunday, we've added about three or four performances because of that. And then there's two other, I'm directing Five Women Wearing the Same Dress as our first show, which is a premiere for Fort Wayne, and then Gint in February is
which is
premiere.
Ibsen's Peer Gynt, rewritten by Romulus Lenny.
And then we're ending with the popular musical, another Sondheim, Into the Woods.
Into the Woods.
And everybody loves
Into
Sondheim.
And finally, let's go to Civic. There are six shows. What are you looking at going?
Well, you know, once again, they're doing a show I'm not directing, one of my favorite shows of all time, Spamalot. So in February, the really fantastic musical Spamalot.
I think for me, I'm looking forward to Grace and Glory. It's a lovely little script, but right now that is scheduled to be the first show in the new space at the Hour Center.
Right, exactly.
So I'm really kind of psyched to see how things are working in there. Jono, thank you so much for coming
out
and talking
me,
to me today. Let me recap a little bit about what you can see tonight. Red. What an amazing script and a good cast, and it will be at the Old Casa, and that alone is worth the price of admission. I'm curious to see how they have turned that cool old restaurant into a performance space. And then also later in July, we've got the Fort Wayne Summer Musical Theater, July 14th through I think the 29th, maybe the 30th, but it is a production of 9 to 5. And then later on, Les Mis opens on that same weekend that 9 to 5 closes, July 27th, and that is going to be a spectacular at the Civic. So we'll be cranking things up then, and I will miss talking to you on Final Fridays about theater. So remember my voice and come to the theater.
Come to the theater.
Okay, I'm going to go weep now.
And I really would like to, I will always remember you, Tom, of course, and I'd like to thank you and John O'Connell for taking some of your downtime. I think Sean and I have had a private showing of the Tom and John review, and that's very special. In the meantime, it is a last Friday. Midday Matters are centric in more ways than one, and this is our final Midday Matters edition. Listing all of our guest hosts and guests over these wonderful years would actually be a whole day matter instead of Midday Matters. So I'm just going to say many thanks to everyone, and you know who you are, though I do have one name that must be named, and that is Norm Compton of Allen County Public Library Access Fort Wayne, because he films and shares our Friday Art Centrics and has been doing so for the last 15 months. So thank you, Norm. You rock. And in the meantime, I look forward to carrying on the torch of art centricity as WBOI's official arts reporter, and we'll continue to hit that local art beat for all it's worth and hope to see everyone there.
That's right. More arts coverage from Julia Meek. More community coverage from all of us. Midday Matters is going away, but we most certainly are not, and we'll look forward to continuing the conversation with you in the near future and beyond. Thanks so much, Julia Meek. Thanks again to all of our co-hosts for being very good to me these past 2 years here, and of course helping us to get a show on the air each and every day. I'm Sean Beter for Julia Meek. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air is coming up next. Have a great day. It's 1 o'clock.